Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
We've just come back from kids camp and I thought I'd show you a few highlights of what we've been up to. Is that all right? We had a weekend away at Raywell Scout Camp. There was 12 leaders, there was 32 children, and we had the best time. A church from Stockton joined us as well. We had just so much fun. There was no drama. Praise the Lord. There were no accidents. Praise the Lord. And there was a whole lot of fun. Praise the Lord. And the colour run is always one of the highlights. It has become the highlight of kids camp. And not only do we do a colour run, but then straight after we go into a water fight, because then it helps us wash away some of the colour before we have to get in the shower. And the showers then get clogged up with colour. But you may have heard that there was something that happened at kids camp, which wasn't it was planned, but it wasn't something that I was looking forward to. But I promised the kids, and so last week I got pied in the face 4 times. I said once, but the thing is, Russ texted me and he was like, "Yes, you got pied," and I was like, "Sort of got a problem now, Russ, because you've spurred me on." I am not going, "Oh, that was really horrible. I'm not going to pie anyone ever again." That has made me go, "I can't wait for the next family service." So, I hope you're ready. I've got 16 cans of squirty cream lined up, ready to go. No, I don't really. But we had a brilliant time. Thank you for those of you that prayed. Thank you for those of you that gave so some of our children could go. We had an outstanding time together. Next year, we've had to book an extra building on the site because we were full to the brim in the building we were in. From a little pike dream a few years ago of running our own kids' camp to now being totally full to the brim in the building we're in, it can... This is going out on broadcast, so better be careful. It can sleep 40 people. There was a few more than that in the building. If you're good at maths, 12 leaders, 32 children, okay? So there's a few more of us, but I was on an airbed. Graham was on a camp bed or an airbed in a different room, obviously. And we were all just like doing it together. It was the best. It was the best weekend. And the kids seemed to really enjoy it. So parents, thank you for investing in your kids and sending them to kids camp. Church, thank you for allowing us to go. I know we took like half of the church with us, but thank you for making it possible for us to go. And that being said, I'm going to preach this morning on children's church. And you might think, "Oh no, I'm not a kids worker. Kids and young people, it's not really my thing. I don't do children's ministry." And I get it, but this is for everybody. This isn't just for those of us that would say that we are children's workers. This isn't just for those of us that are cool and trendy, because I am not. This is not for those of us that go, "Oh yeah, my life's calling is." This is for all of us, because most of us have children as part of our world. In fact, I would say about 95% of us have children that are a significant part of our world, one way or another, whether you're a parent, whether you're part of church, whatever it looks like, children are there. We can't escape them. And actually, C.S. Lewis says this: "Children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work." And you might be going, "But Elena, my God-given calling is not children." I understand that, and I will explain why I believe it's the most important work. I agree with Mr. C.S. Lewis. Children are not just a distraction. They are not a distraction. They are the most important work. From the youngest, and when I'm talking about children, I'm not just talking about like the cute ones that are out there. I'm talking about the teenagers as well. Like legal age children, 17 and under children. So our ultimate calling as followers of Jesus is to go out into the world and disciple. And the thing is, right on our doorstep for most of us, we have children in front of us who we have the opportunity to disciple. But especially in our culture, I don't know about other cultures, I couldn't speak on that, but especially in our culture, we spend a lot of time correcting, putting up with, and punishing children in the name of discipline. And actually, here's one of the main reasons why we do it. Because, not ready for that slide yet, Ellis, sorry. Because the Bible says to. In Proverbs 13:24, it says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline." And so for years, we have used that as an excuse, a direction to be able to punish our children. And we've literally used it as a way to be able to have physical punishment against our children. So I read that in the Bible a few years ago and was just like, something about that's not sitting right with me. The Jesus that I learnt about in the New Testament, I didn't see him ever hit anybody. Like, it does something about this isn't sitting right with me. So we gently walk and journey with grown-ups, but when it comes to kids, we've got to just slap them into place, correct them, get them in place. And so I did a bit of research on it. And when the Bible talks about the rod, it's talking about a staff. And who used the staff? A shepherd. And the shepherd used a staff to guide his sheep and to protect his sheep. A shepherd wouldn't usually carry a weapon with them, but they would use their staff to protect their sheep from anything which might come to try and harm them. So I'm not saying this to shame anyone who has ever given their child a slap on the wrist. I'm not saying that. It's a personal choice I have made. We will never smack our child. However, I understand that at times gone by, this has been part of our world. But what I am saying is, let's not use that verse as an excuse. Let's use that verse to show us, actually, the shepherd guided and corrected his sheep, moved them into the right place with his staff and protected them from that which might come. All in the name of discipline. But what is discipline? Discipline comes from the root to disciple, which is to instruct and train, ultimately to teach. Isn't that amazing? To discipline our children is to teach them. And I'm not just talking about your biological children, if you have them. I'm talking about the children around us. We want to help them be the best they can be, so we discipline them. We teach them. We disciple them. We walk alongside them and help them be better. So what are we teaching them? Because here's the thing. For me, and I'm hoping this message is going to be really encouraging to you, okay? You might be thinking, she's started on a funny foot here. I want this to be really encouraging to you, but we've got to sort of almost go backwards a little bit to come forwards. What are we teaching our children? Because the world is already discipling them. To disciple doesn't mean to teach children in a Christian way. To disciple just means to teach. And whether we like it or not, the world is already teaching our children. Our teenagers have an app, I say teenagers, I've got it as well, called TikTok on their phones, where 30-second videos just roll constantly. Millions a day are uploaded onto this app constantly. New video. Some of them are really informational. Some of them, I'm like, I've just learned how to clean my taps in an easier way. Isn't that exciting? I got it during lockdown because I was bored. How are you bored with a newborn baby? I was, okay? I was bored, and it's still on my phone now. So let's not judge me for that, okay? But I've learned a few things. I've learned some new cooking recipes on there. I've followed some amazing parenting accounts on it. There's some good stuff on it, but I can guarantee you, because it's the internet, there's some real garbage on it as well. And our teenagers are literally watching this and they're just scrolling it. If we're not teaching them, who is? TikTok and whatever algorithm they find themselves on. If you don't know what TikTok is, don't worry about it. It's an app that has millions and billions of videos going over and over and over. Brand new ones every single day. Teaching our children something. I say children, if you're under the age of 13, not meant to have TikTok. But teaching our young people something. If you have a TV in your house and you put on any children's program, from the dreaded Peppa Pig, I hate Peppa Pig, to something fun and informational like Bluey. We love Bluey. Bluey's great. It's two dogs. That was fab. Anyway, but my three-year-old, she likes Mickey Mouse Funhouse. It's so annoying. Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. And that goes around in her house all day. That's teaching her something. What is it teaching her? We won't let her watch Peppa Pig because I don't like the way that Peppa treats her brother George. He's not very nice, and she's a bit of a bully sometimes. I don't want my three-year-old looking at that going, oh, I'm going to be like Peppa. No, be like Mickey Mouse. He's so kind all the time. He finds the best in people. But whether we like it or not, the world as a whole is teaching our children. It is discipling our children. So where is our voice? So we can either choose to stay silent and go, well, you know, I'm just going to let my kids see by me being a good person. I'm just going to let the kids in church see, you know, because we come to church. So they see that we're good people. We love Jesus. That's not enough. We have to teach our children. We have to disciple them. Our godly voice we're not trying to compete with the world. We're just being who God has told us to be. Because the thing is, the world shouts loud, but the message of Jesus is already louder. But what we have to do is actually carry it to our children and young people. Our children and young people need to know that Jesus is the answer, not TikTok. Not the pastoral care person at school who gives good advice, but not Jesus' advice. I'm not decrying people who have got good professional responsibility for our children and young people, but what I am saying is they need Jesus. And how do we teach them that? The world is already discipling them. We get to disciple them. We should be discipling them. And this is not just a passionate rant of a kids slash families slash whatever pastor you want to call me. This is not just the passionate rant of somebody who has given her life to discipling children and young people. This is what I feel God has called me to do. I am so passionate about your children. I am so passionate about seeing them find and follow Jesus for themselves. But this is not just about that. This is a collective community responsibility to disciple and love and teach and train our children in a way that then when they make their own decision, they have good choices. They may decide, we're not going to follow Jesus. That is their decision. The Lord gave them free will, so should we. Some parents are going, oh, but no. I get it. There are moments when Abigail thinks she has free will because I give her two choices. She chooses one of them, but they're both choices I wanted, okay? There's a parenting tip for you. But the Lord lets them choose whether they follow him. So we should let them. But we need to give them everything we know, all of the information, all of the help that we can in order for them to be able to make a good choice. Because the world dresses stuff up in wonderful, attractive clothing, and our young people and children go, oh, but that looks good. Yes, but have we told you enough about the goodness of God? Psalm 78 says this. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. How do our children and young people learn about the exploits of God? Through the steadfast, faithful praise of those of us who are committed to their discipleship. It's not just me that should be committed to the discipleship of the children. It shouldn't just be the parents that are committed to the discipleship of their own children. It should be us as a Christian community going, this matters. I would rather the place be filled with unruly teenagers who we've got to walk through drama and craziness with than them be out there. I want them to be in here having a chance to hear about Jesus. I want them to have a chance to learn about the goodness of God from generation to generation. My Nana is unashamedly in love with Jesus. And she, every chance she gets, she tells us about how wonderful Jesus is. She stood up at my cousin's wedding, told them how wonderful Jesus is. She wants her funeral to be a place where we tell people the goodness of Jesus. She does not want her life to pass without the next generation knowing of his goodness. And so she passes that down to her children, who then pass that down to their children, and now I get to pass that down to my child. We get to, what a privilege. I know this sounds like I'm really excitable, but that's because I am. Because if we don't teach them, the world already is. What does the world say about God? Well, if that's your truth, well, if that's what you want to believe, yep. And what are we saying about God? He's faithful. He is good. He has good things for his people. Our lives are secure in his eternity. Why wouldn't we want them to know that? Let's not water down the gospel for them and so that it makes it a bit more palatable. Jesus has already done all the hard work. We've just got to tell them. And let's not just hand them a Bible and say, read that. You'll be all right. That makes it really difficult. Let's sit with them and walk with them. I have had the stunning, and I say this emphatically, stunning opportunity to start a year 6 to year 8 small group. 5 of them are coming at the minute. Oh, it's beautiful. The questions these young people ask me has me floored. I'm going, that's a great question. Don't have a PhD, I've got no idea what I'm saying. But I just sit with them and I walk journeys with them. They talk to me about what they're finding good and what they're finding hard. And in the midst of it, where the rhetoric is, well, be selfish and do whatever you want, I get to sit with them and go, what would Jesus want us to do in this moment? How do we face these moments with Jesus as part of it? We started watching Youth Alpha together. Oh, the questions. You know what? It's an absolute privilege to sit with young people as they explore who Jesus is to them. Is Jesus someone to them? Is this something that they want to pursue? Not once have I said, well, you need to be a follower of Jesus. I've said, it's the best decision I've ever made, and I think Jesus wants you as well. But how are we teaching our children and young people? Are we going to wait until they're adults? There's a popular saying, and Dan's already going to laugh at me because he knows what's coming. There's a popular saying, they're the church of tomorrow. They're the generation of the future. And I've heard people say, and I get it, and I understand the heart behind it, and I understand the sentiment, but I'm here to say I fully disagree. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. And if we wait till tomorrow to teach them, we've lost them. Imagine waiting until someone's 18 to teach them to tie their shoelaces. We'd all go, you're crazy. Why are you waiting until they're 18? Imagine waiting until someone's 18 to toilet train them. What? Why would we do that? Imagine waiting until someone's 18 to introduce them to solid food. So why do we wait until they're adults to teach them about Jesus? And not just the fun Bible stories. How do we teach them about who God is, what God has done for them, what their lives can be different for, what it means for us, how we should live, how we should be? Why wait until tomorrow? Anyone that works with money, Ed, is it easier to teach a child or an adult about money? Because they get the core of it as a child, and then we build on that as an adult. I've always said, and some people haven't appreciated it, if I do my job properly and teach children well, it makes the pastor's job easier. Because then we've got adults who we build on a faith of instead of having to start from scratch. That's not to say that if you're an adult starting from scratch, it's bad. What I'm saying is, why wait until they're in here? Why wait until they're grown-ups or have left for university and suddenly we've missed that chance? And we're hoping that there's some good Christian union there that might just pick them up. Why wait? For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Let's not rush their childhood waiting for them to be adults or teaching them now so they can be better Christians when they're older. Let's teach them now so that they can be the best followers of Jesus now. Because imagine a world where we are filled with awe and wonder and simplistic faith like children. Or even imagine a world where we allow children to disciple us. I know that's a hard thing for us to swallow, especially in the Western world where we're sort of like, oh, but children need to do as they're told. I get it. And there's an element in which as humans, we're going, yep, you need to do as you're told and listen to me. It doesn't matter what. But at the same time, there's something that they can teach us. At kids camp last weekend, a group of our girls welcomed in the new church we'd not met before. They ran out to the bus, helped them take their bags off, brought them to their rooms, introduced themselves. And I'm going, there's two new leaders here. How am I going to do this? I've got to introduce myself. This is a bit nerve-wracking. These kids just went, loved on them, welcomed them in. My name's so-and-so. It's nice to meet you. There was no, so what school do you go to? There was no, what do you want to do for a living? It was just, I accept you because you are here. And I was like, oh my gosh, imagine if I could do that so easily. And they taught me something about just the acceptance and love of Jesus in that moment. And if we look at children as a whole being already, our children and young people who are still learning, but yet are whole as they are in terms of development, and we look at them and go, we can learn something about Jesus from them. Imagine allowing a child to disciple you. Might be an uncomfortable thought. But at the same time, what a wonderful world we would live in. If we as grown-ups, as over 18s, can disciple our children and young people and allow them to disciple us back. Imagine what that would look like. Imagine hearing the voice of a young person who is combated with huge amounts that the world has to say to them. But imagine listening to what they have to say and learning from them and being able to adapt our care for them because of what they say. It's a massive privilege to be involved in the lives of children and young people, whatever that looks like. Because we should be the ones discipling them and keeping them safe. We should be the ones helping them journey. We should be the ones that are walking this with them. Don't leave it to the passionate, crazy kids workers or the cool youth workers. There's only so much they can do. I know that all of us, if you've grown up in church, you'll remember your kids workers, your Sunday school teachers, whatever you called them. I still remember one of mine, Mrs. Bye, Carol Bye. What a woman. And you know what I always remember about her? She always took her shoes off in church, but she was always wearing those tan tights. So she had little webbed feet. You know what I mean? Because she's got tights on, but because it looks skin coloured, it looked like she'd got webbed feet. And I used to remember, she used to get down in the aisles at church and she'd dance. And she was a little dot of a woman. She was like 4'11" or something. She was really small. But she'd just dance around in church. And I remember being in kids' church, or Sunday school as it was then called, and she was talking about heaven being paved with gold. And she went skidding down kids' church in a tights. And I'm going, Mrs. Bai, what are you doing? I was about 10 years old. Mrs. Bai's just skidding. She must have, I mean, I always thought she was forever in her 70s, but she couldn't have been. How old was Mrs. Bai when I was in kids' church, Mum? She was 40. No wonder they look at me and go, you're really old. And that's because I looked at a 40-year-old and thought she was in her 70s. That's terrible. I'm a terrible person. I need to write Mrs. Bai a card and apologise. But she'd skiddle. And you know, you remember the amazing kids' workers you had. I remember playing, the dartboard when I went to youth, and I accidentally threw the dart and it hit the youth pastor in the leg. And thankfully they were Velcro, so don't worry about it. But you remember the amazing people that input into your life in things like kids' church and kids' camp and youth camp and all these things. And those people are really important. And I count it as an absolute joy to be part of that. But we can't leave it just to them. Don't leave it just to me. There's only so much I can do. I'm with these kids 1 hour a week if I'm in there. I calculated how long we were with children and young people. And if we're being really generous and saying we're with them 2 hours a week, that's 2 weeks out of a whole year. So the other 50 weeks of the year, who is discipling them? Because it's not me. And that's not because I don't want to. I physically can't. It's my job to disciple my daughter and to bring her in front of other people that can disciple her. A grandparent, a great grandparent who talked to her about Jesus all the time. I love it. June Green, who loves on her and looks after her in toddler group and shows her the love of Jesus. The NLK Tots team, she loves Paul and Pat. She just thinks they're amazing. And maybe they might go, but I'm too old to do this. Please don't stop. Don't stop discipling our children. Because if you just leave it to the young bouncy ones, eventually we're going to run out of energy. We need, as a community of people, to take ownership of our children and young people. Now, don't be weird about it. I'm not saying you start sidling up to kids and young people and wrapping your arms around them and they're going, help! Don't do that. My daughter has been taught if somebody picks her up she doesn't want to, she's allowed to kick them. You might think that's unethical, but I don't care. That's what we've done, okay? And the sweet girl that she is has got a vicious kick on her. We will tell the next generation. We. Not just me, not just the pastor, not just the parents, we. We have an opportunity, an obligation, a chance, a privilege, a joy. I did a little joyful hop. I'm so excited. We have that opportunity to invest in them. Let's not get bogged down in the nitty-gritty and going, well, you know, did the story of Noah's Ark really happen like that? How can I disciple children if I don't really know? Don't worry about that, all right? Teach them about the exploits and the goodness of God. Tell them your story. We've talked about this before. Tell them your story. I used to think my granddad was bonkers telling me about the glory days when he used to go on crusades and see people healed, and I'd just be like, Granddad, I've come for a roast dinner. I don't need to hear this. And now I hear those stories differently. Imagine if he'd not told me those things. Imagine if they'd not invested in us. And not just invested in time, invested in words, invested in love, invested in the encouragement. Our young people walk into church, how many of us say hello to them? How many names do you know? And you don't have to be, like I've said, don't be weird. But love on them. Isn't it great to see you in church today? How are you doing? You don't feel like you can do that? Parents, they need encouraging. They've got a hard job, a wonderful job. Raising kids, if it's something that you want to do, wonderful job. Hard job. My mum's nodding her head. She's raised three of us. Encourage the parents. They're raising children in a world that is literally yelling at their kids to be selfish. They're raising teenagers in a world that's telling them they can do and be whoever they want to be and there's no consequences. They're raising children and young people in a world that is shouting at them, do whatever you want. And they've got no handbook. No one handed them, no one said, this is what it's like to raise kids in the 21st century. Because 30 years ago, they'd have to throw that out and start again. It changes constantly. And what do our parents need? No, they don't need judgment. And they don't need someone to come up to them and say, well, in my day, different day. We need people to come up and go, how are you doing? Are you okay? Do you need a break? Do you need encouragement? Oh, I bought you a box of chocolates for after the kids have gone to bed. That's just for me. No, I'm joking. Don't start doing that. I work too hard at the gym for that, guys. How can we encourage our children and young people? How can we disciple them? How can we love on them in this setting, as a community, as followers of Jesus? If it's not something you can do or want to do, pray for them. You don't have to get close, you don't have to get personal, just pray. I can give you numbers of how many kids we've got. I can tell you who we've got in our youth group. I can give you, okay, we've got this many girls, this many boys, pray away. I can do that. If you want to invest time praying for our children and young people, I implore you to come and ask me. Come and talk to me. Let's pray for our children and young people. They need it. Not because of them. They're navigating a world which is tough, whilst also trying to figure out who they are and who Jesus is to them. Let's encourage parents and grandparents and, oh, isn't it beautiful that we've got such a diverse church where if families are here and they don't have grandparents and parents nearby, suddenly the church can step in the gap. Don't know what I'd do if my mum wasn't here. But suddenly, Russ and Sarah would have to step in the gap. You're now the grandparents. What would we do? How do we help our families so that children have a better shot of being discipled in the ways of Jesus and not in the ways of the world? I'm not bashing the world. I'm not saying that we should stay away from it. That's impossible, and that's not what we want to do. We want to give our children and equip them with the things that they can walk into the world and go, I know who Jesus is. Who did he say I am? What did he say about me? And I can walk into my world and share light. But how do they do that? With us discipling them. Don't give them a hard time because you don't like what they're wearing, or they've got another piercing, or you're thinking, ugh, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Fill them with love. Disciple them, teach them, love on them, give them energy, light, life, love. And here's one more way you could help. Make things happen. And this isn't a plug for teens, but it's sort of going to turn into one. We run NLK. We have an incredible team in NLK. We run NLY on Friday nights. The team is amazing, but small. And you'll know how small it is because of the amount of times I've had to send out emails asking for help. We're wanting to run discipleship small groups. Can't run them if no one helps us. I'm legally not allowed to run one on my own. To keep them safe and me safe. It's the right thing to do. But how... We want our children and young people to be discipled, but how do we do it if nobody's discipling them? We run a toddler group, and we're not just discipling children. We're not just walking life with them. We're discipling parents. We're loving on parents who are going, it's been a really tough night. We've been up 3 times, 3,000 times. The teeth are everywhere. Literally. Let me encourage you. This is not a, you need to do more. This is a, let us together do this thing for our children and young people. I want my daughter, on a selfish, completely selfish note, to grow up in a church where she is encouraged and loved and discipled so that she can make a decision of who Jesus is to her. So that when she walks out into the world, she's carrying Jesus. I want her to be a follower of Jesus. And how do we do that? We disciple them. We walk this journey with them. I don't ever want to see these babies walk out of here and go, well, Jesus or the world, it doesn't really matter. I want them to love Jesus. And how do we do that? We disciple them. We do that. Not Elena, not Russ, not Ellis. We do that. We get to do that. We get to do it. Isn't that amazing? Some of you might be sat there going, oh, but I've raised kids in church and they've walked away. Listen to me. You've planted seeds, you've done the right thing. But there are still children and young people that need you now. That need your stories, your wisdom. We will tell of his deeds so that they would tell their children, the next generation. We get to do this. It's a privilege. I am flawed that I get paid to do this as my job. But we get to do this. We get to do this. We have children in our church that want to know of him. And we are the ones that get to do this. Isn't that exciting? That should be exciting to you. Whether you're going to bounce around in there or whether you're going to come and kick footballs on a Friday night, whatever that is, we get to do this. And if your parents in this church know this, that we will help you. If you're thinking, I don't know where to start with discipling my kids, come to me. I'm not 100% sure on every single way to do it, but I can give you resources. I can walk the journey with you. Don't do it alone. Don't try and struggle and be like, well, I can't fit it all in. Listen, there are lots of amazing parents here that have done this. There are lots of incredible people that go, actually, I've got an idea. What about? Fill your homes with worship. Fill this place with worship, because how do children learn about the goodness of God? Through the unfiltered, incredible, faithful worship of those that are dedicated to their discipleship.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk. Or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.